What does it all mean? The words and phrases of this text swirl around in our brains, and we try to sort it all out, connecting one thing with another. Much we remember hearing, quoted elsewhere, perhaps maybe in slightly different words. The love of money is the root of all evil. Or that popular slogan, you can't take it with you. An obvious paraphrase of the words of our text, we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out. Those sentences are perhaps so familiar that we leave that portion of the text feeling like we're covered with aphorisms. And the familiar language doesn't stop there, even though the tone changes in the next section. We find more familiar words, a list of virtues, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. And then that phrase, fight the good fight of faith. Faith talk, we like the sound of that. Finally, we reach the grand finale of this pericope, the ringing doxology. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Beautiful words, but a bit intimidating. After all, what can be said about unapproachable light? So what does it all mean? The text begins with the idea of contentment. It sounds a bit prosaic, even simplistic. But when Paul writes, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, he's talking about much more than chicken soup for the soul. The contentment Paul talks about is not something that we can slip on like a worn sweater or ease into like a hot bath. It's not something to be used for our comfort and then taken for granted and tossed aside when we're ready to face the world once again. Rather, as we face the world, as we live in this world, this contentment remains ours only through constant vigilance, and yes, even struggle. Did you notice the verbs in the text? Flee, pursue, fight. This is not a text to inspire complacency. Instead, it's a text that calls us to fight the good fight, to take hold of the eternal life God has given us, to live in our baptismal grace, cheering the new man on to victory over the old. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. Foremost in the apostle's mind were those false teachers who plagued Ephesus. As he described them in the verse immediately preceding our text, those who are depraved in mind and bereft of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. In other words, the TV evangelists of the first century, urging the faithful to send their money now. With this in mind, Paul wants to remind Timothy and those Timothy serves what it's all about: eternal life. And it's so easy for us, too, to lose sight of that goal. It can get lost in a fog of discontentment, of daily duties and cares and concerns, things that we think might be easier if only we had more money. If I had more money, I wouldn't need that fifth job that takes away from my studies. If I had more money, we could move to a larger house and the kids wouldn't constantly be underfoot. If I had more money, I could afford a car that wouldn't need a new alternator every 2 weeks. If I had more money, well, you get the idea. That's not to say that doing without money, that rejecting money and what we can buy with it is the problem, is really the answer to the problem, because the money itself isn't the problem. The problem is sinful humanity's search for its own solutions. In our society especially, as we hold our collective breath watching the stock market numbers, that search often involves wealth and material gain. Money can indeed be the agent of temptation leading to ruin and destruction. But the root cause is that misplaced love of money or anything else, that misplaced love that turns us away from God. We're in danger of missing this deeper implication of the struggle, of misdiagnosing the human condition, if we linger too long in the first verses of this reading. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Very true words. And not only Christians recognize the truth of that saying. The Stoics had a similar saying, the love of money is the mother city of all kinds of evil. It's good first article stuff. God made the world and this is how it works. We can observe this. Possessions and the cares they bring can lead us away, lead us to lose sight of the truly important things in life. We hear these sentiments echo from the shores of Walden Pond in Thoreau's cry, simplify, simplify. But it is only when we also hear the cry of the baptizer from the banks of Jordan, repent, repent, that we can appreciate Paul's warning. But you, man of God, flee these things. For as Paul writes, in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith. In their discontent, some have lost the true contentment of the faith they should have been fighting for. In their eagerness for temporal pleasure, they have lost eternal joy. So we flee, pursue, and fight, and are able to do these things because God has already turned us toward Himself. He has reached into our lives to claim us as His own. He has poured baptismal waters over us, given us His name, clothed us in the spotless robe of Christ's own righteousness, brought us to eternal life. Living in our baptismal grace, we take hold of that life each day, even if it means letting worldly wealth escape our grasp. Living in our baptismal grace, we have contentment, even if it means struggle, fleeing the temptations of devil and world, and fighting the sinful inclinations of our flesh. We do all this gladly and willingly as God Himself gives grace, and because His promises are sure. His promises of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, treasures that no amount of money can buy. And though we use the things of this world and even enjoy them as God's good gifts, the day is coming, Paul reminds us, when this world will come to an end. Christ will come again, and we will see and know our true and lasting treasure, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who dwells in unapproachable light. Then we will know true and lasting, indeed eternal, contentment. Amen.